Tonight we're going to talk about the mitzvah of Su'udas Purim. In past years, I think we've discussed Mishloach Manos, I think we've discussed Matanos Levyonim, and we've certainly discussed Kriyas HaMegillah. So tonight I want to focus on the mitzvah of Su'udas Purim, the fourth mitzvah Sayom of Purim. People often say there's a fifth mitzvah Sayom of Chai V'Nishlu V'Sumei B'Pur Yad Dole Yad Ben Arham Ben Baruch Mordechai, but certainly in the Siman in Shulchan Aruch that talks about Su'udas Purim, you're going to find that halacha. You'll not only find that halacha, you'll also find the halacha of Mishloach Manos. So it could be that many of the other mitzvahs Hayom of Purim, and we'll see to what extent, are really subsumed under the mitzvah of Su'udas Purim. And we'll try to discuss what needs to be eaten and what needs to be drunk at the Su'uda throughout the course of the shir, but there are certain ha'aros within the Su'udah that I thought were somewhat interesting to share. First off, just who's chayiv in the Su'udas Purim? So we know each of us are chayiv in the Su'udas Purim. Every Jew is chayiv. The Megillah refers to it as Yimei Mishta V'Simcha, and Yimei Mishta V'Simcha means that Mishta means a party, and a party means not only drinking but eating also. So we have a chayiv Su'udah. The Gemara talks about on Purim, and it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch that everyone is mechuyav to have a Su'udas Purim. In fact, it's a very unique formulation of the way the Shulchan Aruch starts the Siman. If you look in source number one, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tafresh Sadihei starts off with Ramah before the Mechaber says anything. The Ramah says, Mitzvah laharbos besudas purim. Now, there are two ways to understand the word laharbos. Laharbos could mean quantity of su'udos, or could mean quantity of food at the su'uda. Over here, it seems to mean the latter. Because if you wanted to say quantity of su'udos, it would be laharbos b'su'udos b'purim. Laharbos b'su'udas purim means to have a lot at your su'udas purim. But Rama says, or meaning fitting with that, Rama says, u'b'su'uda achas yotzim. You don't have two meals. One meal is all you need on Purim. So that right away jumps out at us. Because whenever else we have a chiv su'uda in any sort of simchas yantif that we ever have, it's always at least two meals. Shabbos is three, Yantif is two. Me'echitesi, why should Purim be different? Why should Purim only have a Chiyuv Suda once? One Chiyuv Suda. So we'll get back to that. Rav Soloveitchik got a very interesting ha'ara about that. We'll get back to that soon. Just one thing I saw after I put the Marma Komos together that I thought was a fascinating ha'ara in terms of who's Chayiv in the Sudas Purim. The Rav Sturmbach in his Ma'adim Uzmanim, Chelek Bey, Simon Kuf Tzadi, and again I apologize, I didn't get it into the Marma Komos in time, writes, Amarti Dover Chadash Be'inyun Chiyuv Ketanim B'Sudas Purim. What about children for Su'udas Purim? He says, I found in the Bir Agra in Megillas to Megillas Esther, Perek Tes, Pasuk Chav Ches, that which the Megillah says, Yimei HaPurim HaEle, Lo Yavru Mitocha Yehudim, V'Zichron Lo Yosef Mizaram, that the remembrance of Purim should not be gone from our children. So the Gra writes that Yimei HaPurim Hainu Amishta V'Simcha, Lo Yavru Mitocha Yehudim refers to who? The adults. Yehudim is the Gedolim. So when it talks about Yimei HaPurim Eile should be remembered by the Yehudim, that means the Mishta, the food, should be something done by the adults. Vizichram, but the Zecher of Purim is something that even the Zaram, even the children, have to be included in. What's the Zecher of Purim? Says the Gra, that's Kriyas HaMegillah. Lo Yosef Mizaram, that even Ketanim are Chayiv in Kriyas HaMegillah. And the question begs itself. The Gra understands that the mitzvah of Su'udas Purim is only for the adults. The mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah is even for Ketanim. Imanavshach, are we talking about children of the age of Chinuch or children before the age of Chinuch? If it's children of the age of Chinuch, then both Su'udah and Megillah should apply to them. If it's before the age of Chinuch, neither should apply to them. Why would you say they're included in Megillah, but not included in Su'udah? So the truth is, after he gives his whole Torah, he says, well, I have a second pshat that also might be true. And when you read the whole Torah, and then you read the second pshat, you realize that the second pshat is really the pasha pshat. It's really probably the more true pshat. So let's say the one that's probably more true, and then we'll say is Chiddush. The one that's probably more true is, he says, Ulai b'megillah meviim l'kriya ketanim shlo higil l'gil chinuch l'harbos b'pirsum anes. That by Megillah specifically, because there's an element of Pirsumei Nisa, we bring everybody. We bring children who don't even understand what it says in the Megillah when it's being read to them. So they're not really of the age of Chinuch for Kriyas HaMegillah, but they can sit in shul and they can appreciate the fact that a Megillah is being read and that they're in a costume and that it's an enjoyable time for everybody to have. That's it. But that's also a kiyum. That's a kiyum of Pirsumei Nisa. That's only true by Megillah. by the Su'udas Purim, there's no such element of Prasumi Nisa, and since there's no element of Prasumi Nisa, it follows normal rules of Chinuch. So that's probably the true pshat in what the Gra is trying to say. However, he says that he has a different pshat. He writes, Ulanias daiti liyashiv divrei zekeni zatzal. He always refers to the Gra as his grandfather. It wasn't really Rav Shlomo's grandfather. It's many generations up. But he says, I want to be miyashiv, the Gra. Dibemakom sheish maisa hamitzvah. He says there are two types of mitzvahs. There are some mitzvahs that are specific actions that we ask of ourselves to do, that the Ribbono Shel Olam asks of us to do, and that we ask of our children to do. Actions such as saying Shema, putting on tefillin, wearing tzitzis, blowing shofar, eating matzah. Most mitzvahs maisios, mitzvahs that involve some sort of action. He says when it comes to such mitzvahs, a father is mechuyev to be mechanich his child in such a mitzvah. But when it comes to a mitzvah, he says, a second category of mitzvah, a mitzvah sheyisoda miskayim belev. It's a mitzvah where there's a kiyum belev. It's not a kiyum in a maisa. Maybe the maisa sometimes is meant to bring about certain feelings belev, but the real kiyum ha-mitzvah is belev. He says, v'hainu v'simchas levavo al yidei mishta v'simcha. Such as the mitzvah of Su'udas Purim, he says, is not a mitzvah of eating X, Y, and Z, and therefore being the kind of mitzvah of Su'udas Purim. If you sit around at a Su'udas Purim and you treat it as if you're at a wake, so you're not mekayim the mitzvah of Su'udas Purim. The mitzvah of Su'udas Purim is a kiyum in simcha belev. There's no kiyum of Su'udas Purim if there's not going to be any simcha. So he says, by such mitzvahs, lo shayach chinuch. Because as much as the child could sit there and have a good time, he still doesn't understand what simchas Purim really means. He says, the katan, his language is very interesting. He says, the katan, e f shalo bimitzius, lahargish simcha kimitzvasa. A katan, just in fact, is unable to feel that sense of simcha that the mitzvah requires of us. Now, can he be happy? Of course he could be happy. But the happiness is not the exact happiness that is the mitzvah of simchas Purim. Why? Shakal etzlo kiskok v'titua. He says, everything to him is a joke. It's just a joke. Everything's funny. Right? This one's a little tipsy on his wine. And everything's in. This one has a funny costume. Everything's funny. But the real Simchas Purim, he doesn't even know what it is. He can't relate to that. And therefore, there's no such thing as chinuch. He's just not a bar das yet. When it's a mitzvah, it's totally in the das of the person. So you can't teach someone who's not a bar das to be a bar das. So there's no chinuch in such a mitzvah. He's incapable of performing the mitzvah. It would be like being mechanech a child who Rachman al son doesn't have any arms in the mitzvah of tefillin shal yad. There's no mitzvah for him. What are you going to wrap the tefillin over some other part of his body? That's not the mitzvah. He's unable to do the mitzvah. He doesn't have the kelim with which to do the mitzvah. So he wants to suggest that's why the Gra says the chiyuv of chinuch is only on mikra megillah, because that's a mitzvah in maisa of hearing the megillah, reading the megillah. However, when it comes to the mitzvah of Su'udas Purim, he thinks that's why the Gra says there's no chinuch, because it's a mitzvah that's mekuyim b'leiv. Okay, let's get through some of the nuts and bolts over here a little bit in terms of what the Su'udas Purim has to be. First of all, is one mekuyiv to eat lechem at the Su'udas Purim. So the Shari Tshuva, first of all, lechem mishnah, a lot of Su'udas Purim people have lechem mishnah. That, there's really no reason to have lechem mishnah. The whole reason we have Lechem Mishnah Shabbos Yantiv is because of the double portion of man that fell on Erev Shabbos. As far as we know, there was no double portion of man that fell on Erev Purim. So Mela, there's no need for Lechem Mishnah. Now, many people may need Lechem Mishnah or Shlishis or Revias, depending on how many people you have at your Purim Suda, just to make sure everyone has enough bread. But there's no real need, meaning there's no need for, let's say, if you have a lot of people to wait, to have 25 people wait for everyone to wash so that someone could be mevarich for everybody, right? That's not necessary to do. The only reason we do that on Shabbos, let's just say it like this, the only reason we really do it on Shabbos is because everyone needs to be Yotzei Lecha Mishnah. So if we were to cut the bread first and then give everybody a piece, and everyone make their own bracha, so everyone's making a bracha on a piece, not on Lecha Mishnah. But by Purim, even if you do need bread, you don't need Lecha Mishnah. You can make a bracha on your piece of bread, on your little challah roll, and you don't need a double challah roll or your little piece of challah. That would be perfectly fine. It would be unnecessary to do something like Lecha Mishnah. But do you need any bread at all? So the Shari Tshuva quotes from the Birkei Yosef. Birkei Yosef was authored by the Chida, and he says he doesn't think you need bread. He doesn't see why you would need bread. Which part of Mishnah means bread? The Aruch HaShulchan says, no, that's not true. Aruch HaShulchan says, any time you have the word Mishnah, it means, at the very minimum, a su'uda. And a su'uda means bread. That's just the nature of su'uda. Su'uda, by definition, means that you have bread. Rav Sternbach, in that same piece, in Ma'ad Muzmanim, says that bread is certainly no kiyum of simcha. There's no kiyum of simchas yantiv when you eat bread. But we have to have lechem mishnah certainly on at our yantiv meals. And he says that it's not just that the basar is the kiyum of simcha and the bread is there to be soed, to have a status of su'udah. He says, no, the bread is to be soed, it's true, but when you combine the bread with the meat, the bread also becomes part of the chiyum of simcha, of the kiyum of simcha. So although meat is the core of the simcha, in simcha el bebasar, the bread becomes part of it when the meat is done with the bread. So bread is not divorced from the mitzvah simcha. That's Rav Sternbach's analysis. He has rayas to it. I'm not going to get into his rayas. What about meat? Do you have to eat meat? I was asked this question, I think when I was living in Queens, right after we got married, one of our friends was having a milchik purim suda and wanted to know if that was okay. If there was any reason that a person dafka had to have meat at their Purim Suda. So I looked it up in Shulchan Aruch, but before you even look at the Shulchan Aruch, there's a very well-known psak of the Rambam. Look at source number 10. The Rambam, very famous formulation the Rambam has. The Rambam talks about the mitzvah of Sudas Purim. So the Rambam says, Ketzad chovas su'uda zu. How does one fulfill the chiyuv of this su'uda? So first two words out of the Rambam's mouth, Sheyochal basar, you should eat meat. Okay, so that seems open and shut in terms of the Rambam's view. Suda's perm has to be done with meat. V'yisakin suda nak v'yashetim siyado, and you should have a nice suuda as much as you can afford. V'shose yayin ad sheyishtaker, says, and you should drink wine until you become drunk. V'yirdam b'shichrus, and you fall asleep in your drunkenness. The Ramah, which many people associate with this Rambam, says something entirely different than the Rambam. The Ramah and the Rambam, the one thing they have in common is that they both talk about sleeping as a kiyum of Adelo Yada. The Ramah says you should drink a little bit yoser milimudo, a little more than you're used to drinking, so if normally you have one glass of wine, you should have 1.5 glasses of wine, and then yashin ma'at, then you should go to sleep a little bit. And that way, when you're sleeping, you'll be at the point of Adelo Yada. It doesn't sound that that's what the Rambam's saying. The Rambam is saying you should drink so much to the point that the drink makes you fall asleep. Not that you take a sip and then you lie down. It's that you take a sip and then you fall asleep. Not a sip. You drink enough that you become mishtaker, that you become shikr, and you fall asleep in your chair, or you just pass out. That's a totally different level of drunkenness. But one of the things that everyone's medayik in this Rambam is the Rambam started the paragraph with the phrase Ketzad chovasu dazu. How is one mekayim the chiyuv of the su'udah? And in that context, the Rambam discusses drinking. This is what we always point out. The mitzvah of drinking on Purim is dafka in the context of the su'udah. It seems clear that way in the Rishonim and in the Shulchan Aruch, that it's dafka during the su'udah that one has a mitzvah of drinking on Purim. And there's good reason for that, both halachically, as we'll soon see, and also in terms of what's healthy emotionally and psychologically and physically, what's healthy. When a person drinks, when they're on the run and they're going from place to place, they very often don't keep track of what they're drinking. They very often drink a lot faster. They very often are in a context where they can do much more dangerous things. When you're sitting around a table with family, friends, or whatever it might be, when you drink, you have one glass at a time, and there's more there. You're not running somewhere, so you don't have to rush it all down. So you could take a couple of sips at a shot, and you realize what it's doing to you as it's happening. You don't only realize once it's too late. And you're in the context where you could do much less, there's much less danger in the context of a su'uda. Okay, but then the Rambam goes on to say, V'chein chayav adam l'shloch shtei manos shel basar, shnei minei tafshel, shnei minei ochlin l'chavero. You also have to send shalach manos. Again, how did the Rambam start this paragraph? Ketzad chov ha-su'udah zu. How is one mekayim the mitzvah of su'udas purim? There's a well-known machlokas about the mitzvah of shalach manos. We had a shiur in it once, many years ago probably, 4 or 5 years ago already. where the Trumas Hadeshen and the Manos Halevi are the two famous shitas in terms of why we do Mishloach Manos. The Trumas Hadeshen says we do Mishloach Manos. The idea of Mishloach Manos is to provide other people with what they need for Sudas Purim. And the Manos Halevi, which is written by Shlomo Alkovitz, the author of Lechadodi, says that the purpose of Mishloach Manos is the response to Haman's Am Fuzar Mufrad Bein Amim, that Klal Yisrael is scattered about and doesn't get along with each other. We show a sense of Achva and Reyos, and that's the purpose of Mishloach Manos. Now, most likely, they don't really disagree. Everyone, the big shear that everyone gives on Mishloach Manos, say over that machlokas and as many nafkamin as they can think of. So everyone finds every single thing, every issue that was ever discussed about Mishloach Manos is a nafkamina in that machlokas. So I think when we gave the shear, I think we had 15 or something nafkaminas. And if we're honest about it though, maybe two of them were really nafkaminas and the rest of them we sort of stuck in there and tried to make them into nafkaminas. And usually they don't all work out. Like you'll have the Ramah Sosar himself, you know, based on your nafkaminas. But, and honestly, they probably really agree. What's the purpose of Mishloach Manos? To create a sense of Ahava. How do we create that sense of Ahava and Achva? By providing other people with the needs for Sudas Purim. And it's very clear that it's part of the mitzvah of Suda. The Rambam puts it, mamish, in the same couple of sentences. Shulchan Aruch puts it in the siman about Sudas Purim, puts the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. And generally speaking, when people analyze the mitzvah of Sudas Purim and the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, I should say, how do those nafkaminas usually work out? So what are the nafkaminas between the Manos Halevi and the Trumas Hadeshen? So people will say nafkamina is whether the Manos Halevi can give his book, Manos Halevi, as Mishloach Manos. You can't eat it, so it's not too useful for the Suda, but it creates a sense of Ava and Achva, he's giving me a gift. Maybe any gift would suffice. You wouldn't need to give actual food stuff, something that you could eat. What about raw meat? Can you give raw meat? There's no way they're going to be able to cook it in time before Purim is over. But it's expensive. The guy got me a brisket, a London broil, was a big piece, first cut, would cost me $40 in the store, so that's a nice gift, but I can't use it for my Sudas Purim. So those are typically the nafkaminas that are given. And how do we understand that? That according to the Trumas Hadeshen, what we know about Sudas Purim educates us on what we can use for Mishloach Manos. What do we know about Sudas Purim? It needs to be edible. And therefore, that educates us on what we should be using for Mishloach Manos. That's why some of them say, some say nafkamina would be when you give candies. Is that a mitzvah? Is that the ideal Mishloach Manos? So everyone does it, but if it's for the Su'udah, candies aren't ideal for a Su'udah. You may want to give a type of food that's more ideal for Su'udah. So for instance, if everyone, let's say we conclude like the Rambam, that you have to have a fleishig meal. So if you give milchiks for Mishloach Manos, so can they use that for the Su'udah? So Pashas is, again, like we said, although the idea is to provide them with Su'udah-like foods, they don't need to actually be able to use it at the Su'udah. But the whole way of thinking is, we use the Su'udah to educate what to use, what is kosher to use, and what is ideal to use for Mishloach Manos. Soloveitchik just had one very simple ha'ara, and he didn't say it this way, but he said, if it's true that Mishloach Manos is meant as part of the mitzvah of Suda, just like whatever we know about Suda will educate us in terms of what we can use for Mishloach Manos, it stands to reason that whatever we already know about Mishloach Manos can educate us in terms of what to use for Suda, right? So what do we know about Mishloach Manos? What must you send for Mishloach Manos? What? So the Rambam said, what do you have to do? Shtei manos shel basar, o shnei minei tafshil. The emphasis on two. Says Rav Soloveitchik, therefore, the mitzvah of Sudas Purim is, yes, you should have basar, but you can't just have basar. There needs to be some other food. There needs to be some other tafshil, some other cooked food involved in order to be in the kind of mitzvah of Sudas Purim. For several years, after we got married, my wife and I gave for our Mishloach Manos, until it just got out of hand. I have to give hundreds of Mishloach Manos these days, but for a while we gave deli sandwiches. A deli sandwich with soda and a bag of potato chips. That was always our, what? Oh, it's two different meats. Yeah, it was okay. Taka. But if we were to, let's say, only use turkey. So it could be, we always thought that's ideal. Why is it ideal? It's meat, it's bread, it's everything you would need for Sudas Purim. And what my whole chap was, that we're going to see soon, one of the big mechsholim that people sometimes are nechsholim when it comes to Sudas Purim is they eat it too late. They eat it when Purim's over already. The mitzvah is to eat it on Purim, and very often everyone's running late, and they have to go to this one, and this kid's Rebbe, and that one, to deliver all the Mishloach Manos, and then they got to drive out to New Jersey with family to eat the Suda. By the time they get there, it's 5 o'clock, and Shkia is shortly thereafter. And they end up eating the whole Suda after Purim's already over. So my whole chap was, give them something that they're going to eat in the car as they're delivering Shalach Manos, and it'll be kind of the mitzvah of Suda's Purim right then and there. And that was, so I always thought that was a great idea. If you don't give two types of meat, though, even though I have bread and meat and whatever, according to Rav Soloveitchik, no, you should be shnei tavshilin. You should have two different types of cooked foods. Where does he get this idea? Why? I mean, obviously he gets it from Mishloach Manos, but Mishloach Manos doesn't seem that there's required shnei tavshilin per se, just two types of food, a drink and a food. That would be enough. Rav Soloveitchik thinks that no, the Rambam doesn't say a drink and a food. He says shtei manos shel basar, shnei minei tavshil, shnei minei ochlin. Why doesn't he just say one basar and one can of soda? You know, one pineapple and one bottle of wine. That was always the Rebbe Shalach Manos. Pineapple and a bottle of wine. I don't know if there was like a tradition that Rebbeim liked pineapples, but there's a pineapple and bottle. That's why doesn't he talk about drinks? I never noticed. You read this Rambam for years. That's the only Rambam in Hilchos Megillah that I could practically say by heart, and never noticed that. Never talks about a drink. Never talks about the bread as part of the Mishloach Manos. Shnei manos, shnei manos shal basar, shnei minei tavshil, shnei minei ochlin. So says Rav Soloveitchik, where else do we have such a concept of shnei tavshilin? Beautiful ha'ara. Mishnah and Tainis, that's the exact opposite of Purim. Yeah, so what does the Mishnah say? By the Su'udah Hamafsekes on Erev Tisha B'Av, what can't you have? Shnei tavshilin. You're only allowed to have one tavshil. Why? It says the definition of a Su'udas Chol is one tafshil. The definition of a su'uda chashuva, of the likes of which you would have on a Shabbos or a Yantif, is shnei tafshilin. That's how we define a su'uda chashuva. So what do you have to have on Purim? You have to have a su'uda chashuva, shnei tafshilin. And that's why, for Mishloach Manos, you should give a su'uda chashuva, you should give shnei tafshilin. If you're still not convinced, he has another raya. The Gemara in Pesachim talks about the concept of Asei Shabbat Chachol V'Al Tzitzarich L'Brios. This is in a piece in Hari Kedem. Everything I'm saying now is in source number 11. I typed it up. Asei Shabbat Chachol V'Al Tzitzarich L'Brios. What does that mean, Asei Shabbat Chachol V'Al Tzitzarich L'Brios? You should sooner treat Shabbos like a weekday rather than go collecting money in order to be able to treat Shabbos like Shabbos. Meaning, normally you have to eat three meals on Shabbos, and you have a cholent and a kugel and a meat and a chicken and however many different things you have. And during the weekday, so what are you going to have for lunch? During the weekday, you go to you get a bagel and tuna fish, and that's your lunch during the week. So it's a very different kind of meal, and you're only going to have two meals a day, not three meals a day during the week. Asei Shabbat Kachol V'Atzitzarich L'Brios means if Rachmana L'Tzlan, someone is so poor that they can't afford to buy three meals for Shabbos and to eat properly on Shabbos, rather than collecting tzedakah, if they do have enough to at least treat Shabbos just like a weekday, so treat Shabbos like a weekday. Don't go around asking for money for Shabbos. So what does the Gemara over there say? What does it mean to be Asei Shabbat Chachol, to make your Shabbos like a weekday? To Osa Hu Davar Muat B'toch Beiso. The Gemara says, by having something small in your house. Maini, who, what is something small? Amar Rav Papa, Kasa Daharsina. Some stew, a cooked dish. What's the Gemara's definition of chol, of a Sudas chol? One cooked dish. When you have one cooked dish, that's Sudas chol. Two, that's already Sudas Shabbos, that's Sudas Yantif. And that's why the dafka, the mitzvah of Sudas Purim, is not only to have meat, but to have meat and some other tafshil as well. And that's so meduyik in the Lashon of the Rambam. Yes, you drink wine at the Suda, but the Suda itself, the foodstuffs at the Suda, has to be two types of cooked food. Now, whether you actually need meat or not is in fact a big machlok saposkim. The Magen Avraham assumes that you don't have to eat meat at Sudas Purim, but then again, the Magen Avraham assumes you don't have to eat meat on Yantif either. The Magen Avraham assumes what really sounds like Pashat Pshat in the Gemara, in Mesechta Pesachim, in the 10th Parak of Pesachim, where the Gemara says that, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYakayim Ein Simcha El Bebasar, So Magen Avraham says it's enough in the Gemara that when the Beis Hamikdash was around, that's when basar was part of the definition of simcha. We had basar shlamim, we had basar of karbanos to eat. That's simcha. But stam to eat regular meat, there's no kim simcha in that. Our simcha is with yayin. So the Magen Avraham l'shitaso by all yom tovim says you don't eat meat. Says Purim is no different. Most of the poskim assume that if you can eat meat on other yom tovim, which we generally do assume we require, so then you should eat meat at your suudas Purim as well. Fine. The biggest issue, though, when it comes to this Purim, as we mentioned, is when a person is supposed to eat the Suudas Purim. So let's start chronologically, when Purim starts. So right when Purim starts, it's nighttime. Why doesn't anyone think of that? The daytime is so busy. Nighttime is much less busy. You have your Kriyas HaMegillah, you go home, and, you know, Baruch Hashem, in this neighborhood we have labedic things to go to and attend. You know, I teach in yeshiva, so I have a couple of labedic things to attend. But, you know, the average person goes home, they're home that night. So why not just do the Suda then? Wouldn't that be so much easier? It's pretty early this year. So why not just do the Suda then? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, based on a Gemara, really, based on Gemara in Megillah Daf Zayin, that no, the Suda's Purim cannot be done at night. Shulchan Aruch says, where is it? Yeah, Sif Aleph, in source number one. Sudas Purim Sha'asa Belaila Lo Yatzi Yidei Chavasa. If you ate Sudas Purim at night, you weren't Mekayim the Mitzvah. Ed Drama Umikol Makom Gam Belaila Yismach V'yir B'Ketzas B'Suda. But you should do something joyous at night and have a little bit of extra food. But not Sudas Purim. Sudas Purim is only during the daytime. Sudas Purim is not during the nighttime. The challenge of this Yir B'Ketzas B'Suda this year, of course, is the fact that we will be coming off of a Shabbos and Suda Shlishis, and it's sometimes hard to eat. We just discussed recently in Shul the concept of Malava Malka, and how much one is expected to eat from Malava Malka, and apparently you're supposed to eat a little bit more for Simchas Purim. So we have to try to make room, but that's the Mishnah Berurah says, we don't get off the hook from that Yerba Ketzas just because it's Matzoy Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah says, even on Matzoy Shabbos, you need to have that Yerba Ketzas. Shar Tzion quotes, he doesn't quote it from the Beis Yosef, but it's the Beis Yosef quotes the idea from the Rush, that dafka on the night of Purim, you should, if you're going to be marbe ketzas besuda like you should, you shouldn't have meat on the night of Purim. Why not? So this is very pashut. You can have meat on the night of Purim, and then people will say, oh look, he's having a big meal on the night of Purim. Or you're going to say to yourself, yeah, I know, we always have a tradition in my family that we have meat the night of Purim. And then you're going to think, oh, it must be that this is a key mitzvah of Sudas Purim. In order to make it abundantly clear to yourself that it's not a key mitzvah of Sudas Purim, we don't have meat on the night of Purim. There's also several achronim that quote the minhag to have milchig dafka on the night and morning of Purim. Why? Because kimu v'kiblu, that it's a day of Kabbalah Satorah, that Klal Yisrael is mekabel the Torah get on Purim. And just like on the day of Kabbalah Satorah of Shavuos, we have milk. So we have, why do we have it on Shavuos? There are four or five explanations, basic explanations, and many more as well. But whatever it is that applies to Shavuos, we assume applies to Purim as well, to any day of Kabbalah Satorah, because it's the day of Kabbalah Satorah, so we start out by having milch, either dvash v'chalav tachas l'shonech. Torah is referred to as dvash v'chalav, so since Torah is nimshal to chalav, so we have chalav on the days of Torah, or that chalav is a symbol of purity, and we were only mekabel the Torah once we reached a certain level of purity, the memtes shari kedusha. So whatever it is, all the different explanations. Now the only explanation that doesn't fit is the what the Rama actually quotes. The Rama in Hilchos Shavuos. Rama says, why do we have milchigs and Shavuos? He says, because it's a zecher to the carbon of Shavuos. What's the special carbon we have in Shavuos? It's called the Shtei Halechem. Shtei Halechem is what it sounds like. Two breads. Right? Now, how does milchig remind us of two breads? Because there is a halacha in Yerideya. The halacha is that if you're going to eat meat, and I just had this shayla last week, someone called me with it. Someone had a challah at their fleishig Shabbos table that they had sliced, and they wanted to know, could they make French toast with it the next morning? Can they soaked in milk? Can they use that same challah? The challah, they're pretty sure, never touched anything fleishig. It was just on the table. So there's a halacha that the answer is no. They're not allowed to take a challah that was... Rav Moshe has a kula that if it wasn't sliced, you're allowed to use it. But if it was sliced, you're not allowed to take the challah that was sliced and then use it for French toast the next morning. You're not allowed to use it for a milchik's meal. So says the Ramah, such a chap. Most people don't even know this pashut reason that the Ramah says why we have milchik and shavuos. He says, it's a zecher to the shtei alechem. Why? Because of course you can have a fleshik meal and shavuos also. It's yantif. You're not going to go without a fleshik meal. So if you have a fleshik meal and you have a milchik meal, you're therefore requiring yourself to have two sets of bread. Two sets of bread, that's shtei alechem. So that's the way you remember shtei alechem. That doesn't carry over so nicely to Purim. That doesn't work with Purim, because by Purim there's no Shtei Alechem. But nevertheless, for all the other reasons, there is a Minog Yisrael to have Milchik's Dafka on Purim night. Now, that's in terms of what to eat at the nighttime. Rav Soloveitchik had a very fascinating Ha'ara regarding this as well, regarding that Gemara that talks about the nighttime. If you look in source number 7, the Ha'ara Kedem, he quotes the Gemara that Rav Ashi have a Yosef Kamed Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi was sitting in front of Rav Kahana, Nagav Lo Asu Rabbanon, and they're sitting there in yeshiva waiting for the Talmidim to show up to the shir, and no one's showing up. Samalei, my time Lo Asu Rabbanon. So he says that, why is no one coming today? What's going on today? Is there something I should know about? Amalei, Dilma Tridi Besudas Purim. He says, hello, it's Purim. What kind of yeshiva is this? You're saying shir and Purim. Maybe they're not coming because they're busy with Sudas Purim. Amrlay, Vlada Efshar the Michli Borta? He's such a litvak, right? He says, what do you mean? That's no excuse. Why didn't they eat last night? So Amrlay, Lo Shmirle the Mar Hadam Ravi says, no, you didn't hear. Rava came out with a psak that you're not supposed to eat last night. Sudas Param Shachab Laila Lo Yasi De Chavasam. That if you eat at night, you're not Yotzi Yechiv. So says Rav Soloveitchik very brilliantly. He says, wait a second. Take away Rava from the equation, this idea that you can't be Mekayim the Mitzvah at night. Would the excuse of, sorry, let's say it this way. Let's assume you could be Yotzei the Mitzvah at night. Does that mean you shouldn't still be partying during the day? If there's a mitzvah of Simcha on Purim, why is the fact that it's Purim alone not a good enough reason for them to be celebrating somewhere? Why does he say, oh, they should have done that last night, now it's time to learn? Purim's not over. They should still be celebrating. So Soloveitchik says the following unbelievable chiddush. He says the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, by Shalosh Regalim, is a mitzvah that educates us as to what the entire nature of the day, beginning to end, is really all about. Elamai, we have to have a minimum of two su'udos as an expression of the Simcha that we feel throughout the day. But the Simcha is there throughout the day, beginning to end. He says when it comes to Purim, it's not so. Counterintuitive, but he says when it comes to Purim, it's not so. Purim, there's a mitzvah of being misameach on Purim. It's not a mitzvah that Purim is a day full of simcha. It's a mitzvah that sometime on Purim, you're supposed to do an act of simcha through su'uda. One su'uda. So you have one su'uda, that's where you're misameach, and that's it. And the rest of the day, there's no mitzvah simcha. You already mekayim your mitzvah simcha. You already did what you needed to do. There's no reason to just continue going on with more simcha. You're ready to make a mitzvah of simcha. It's not a day of simcha. It's a chiv of simcha to do sometime on this day. That's his understanding. And he says, based on that, we understand very well why the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch quote the idea of chayv nishlo v'sumei b'puri ad lo yada dafka in the context of Sudas Purim. Because what's the point outside of the context of Sudas Purim? Sudas Purim is our kiyum mitzvah simcha. Outside of that, there's no mitzvah of simcha. Before Sudas Purim, after Sudas Purim, there's no mitzvah of simcha. And that's why Mishloach Manos, of giving. Giving is part of the mitzvah of simcha. Because outside of the su'uda, there's no simcha. So what are you going to give outside of the su'uda? It's all part of Simchas Purim. And Simchas Purim is only during those moments, only during that su'uda where we're expressing that simcha. That's the chiddush of Soloveitchik. He then has a kasha on it, but it's an interesting chiddush whether it's true or not. He has a kasha on it from Ramah. The Ramah writes that there's no avelus on Purim. So that's sort of a little problem. Because if it's only a mitzvah, it's only a mitzvah to have simcha for an hour at some point during the day of Purim, so why is the whole day mufka from avelus? The whole day mufka from avelus sounds like it's a whole day of yontif. Okay, so he deals with that. But that's the kasha he has on this thesis. Now, what about starting... when to start the meal? Okay, now we know we're not having the meal at night. We're having the Sudas Purim during the day. So how early do you have to get started? So the Ramah tells us in Shulchan Aruch how early to get started. The Ramah says, that where is it? Yeah, he says umispal mincha tchila bode yom gadol yishtav mincha early v'rov ha-su'uda tzricha lios b'yom, and most of the su'uda should be done during the daytime. V'lo kimo shenohagin. So it's interesting. The Rama, this is an old minhag that people start very late and they end up having most of the su'uda at night. The Rama says it's wrong, but that's been the minhag. So you shouldn't do what the minhag is. Instead, you should start early. Not like they're knowing lahaskil samuch la'erev the ikra su'uda hilal tezvav. Not like people are knowing to have the ikra part of the su'uda during lel tezvav. That you can't do. Rav Sternbach, based on his thing that we said before, that the lechem can be part of the simcha, but only when it's connected to the basar, says you have to start early enough to have basar when it's early. Right? You can't. It's not good enough to start the lechem in the salad when it's early. You need lechem and basar also when it's early. But that's what the Rama says. So is there any justification for the minhag to do otherwise? So the most famous tshuva on the topic, I think, is the tshuva of Rav Aryeh Tzvi Frimer, the Kozhik Lavar Gaon. Kozhik Lavar Gaon was a super genius, and his style is interesting in that he likes to take a whole bunch of different ideas from all over the place and say, if you put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 all together, then you have an answer to all the world's problems. That's his style in learning. Very brilliant style, not something everybody could do. But the Kozhik Lavar Gaon starts with another problem. He noticed a minhag, besides for starting the Suda late, he noticed a different minhag that was problematic. People were giving Mishloach Manos after Purim was over. They were giving Mishloach Manos what would be this Sunday night, when it's already dark outside. The mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is clearly on Purim, it's not after Purim. So he says, first things first, let me tell you, it's wrong. You shouldn't do that. But, if thousands of Jews do it, there's a mitzvah trying to be matzdik the minhag, limud zechus on the minhag, so I'm going to be melamed zchus on the minhag. Before I do that, he says, let me mention that there's a minhag that people start their su'udos mamish right before it gets dark, and they have most of their su'udah after it's dark. Let me tell you, that's wrong too. But thousands of people do it. Need to be melamed zchus on the minhag. So I want to be melamed zchus on that minhag. In order to be melamed zchus on both minhagim, he says, you need to know a vart from the Yira Kadosh Mipshischa, the Yehudi Kadosh. What does the Yehudi HaKadosh Rav Shischa say? He had a third minhag that people did that seemed wrong against the Shulchan Aruch, and he needed to justify it. And what's that minhag? Tonight, Shkia was 5:40, so if we would have davened mincha in the shul, we would have started at 5:30, 5:25, 5:30, make sure that we finish mincha before Shkia. And that's the halacha, that's what you're supposed to do. But many people start mincha at 5:38. They start mincha before Shkia and they finish it well after Shkia. It's wrong. Shouldn't do it. But if thousands of Jews do it, need to be melamed zchus on the minhag. So says the Yir HaKadosh, there's a Tosfos in Maseches Brachos. Follow the whole Cheshbon. There's a Tosfos in Maseches Brachos Daf Zayin. The Gemara over there says that Bilam wasn't really such a smart guy. Bilam Harasha. He wasn't really such a brilliant guy. He knew one thing really well, and that was his like one superpower, right? He had this one ability that no one else had. He wasn't like Superman who had like a million superpowers. He was the guy with just one. What was his one superpower? His one ability? Was that there was a millisecond each day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. He knew exactly when that millisecond was. And that's power. Because you could say whatever you want during that millisecond. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, you curse whoever you want, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will carry it out. That's power. That was Bilam's koach. Frek Tosfos on the spot in Brachas Dav Zayin. What kind of power? What can you say in 1 millisecond? It's over. So Tosfos says, okay, I have two ideas. First idea is Chalein. Chalein means wiped out. So that's pretty good. Point to the Jewish camp and say Chalein. That's it. Millisecond, done, and he's got what he's needed. So that's Tosfos' second teretz, though. Tosfos' second teretz, he's going to start the curse during that millisecond. He'll finish it later, it'll continue. It'll take 5-10 seconds to say the curse, but it will have started during that millisecond, and that's good enough. As long as it starts during that moment, everything goes back to that moment. So says the Yir HaKadosh, why do people start davening mincha before Shkia? Because as long as you start and finish 10 minutes after Shkia, because as long as you start before Shkia, everything goes back to that moment. That's what the Yir HaKadosh says. Says the Kozhik Lavar, same is true for Sudas Purim. You start Sudas Purim before Shkia. You finish late into the night. Everything goes blas at the time you started. Still doesn't help us for Mishloach Manos. So says the Kashrut Lover, two more ingredients that we still need to help us for Mishloach Manos. Ingredient number one, we mentioned before. Machlokas Trumas Hadeshen and Manos Alevi. What is Mishloach Manos supposed to accomplish? Trumas Hadeshen holds, and that's the one that he's interested in, because it's one that works, that Mishloach Manos helps to accomplish providing someone with food for their Su'udas Purim. That's the purpose of Mishloach Manos. Providing someone with food for Su'udas Purim. That's one more ingredient.
You're eating late. You're still getting them late.
Good, but he thinks there's something else you have to say. I would have stopped with that.
Yeah.
He says there's another ingredient. There's a rush, a very well-known rush. It says that although there's a mitzvah in the Torah, mitzvah taryag in the Torah, is to write a Sefer Torah, Ksiva Sefer Torah. The rush says, what's the purpose of Ksiva Sefer Torah? So you could learn. You have something to learn from. That's the purpose of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Says the rush, who learns from a Sefer Torah nowadays? How many people sit down in the basement with their chavrusa and open up a Sefer Torah to start learning? So what's the mitzvah nowadays? Buying Sfarim. So he says, you see what the rush is saying conceptually? That when you know what the goal of a mitzvah is, what the purpose of a mitzvah is, you can sacrifice on the way you do the mitzvah in order to accomplish the goal in the most maximum ideal way possible. So the way you're doing it, your maisa is flawed, but it's in the interest of a greater goal. The maisa of Ksiva Sefer Torah should be writing a Kasher Sefer Torah with klaf and Kasher Dio and everything. Your maisa of buying Svarim is not anywhere near that, but it accomplishes the goal so much better. So you see, the Shitas HaRash is that you can sacrifice the Maisa in the interest of the goal. So says the Kashrut Lover, now I've got it. The Maisa of giving Mishloach Manos should be done on Purim. There's no question. That's what the Maisa is. But what's the goal? The goal is to provide people with something that they could use at their Sudas Purim. So in order to accomplish the goal in the best way possible, you want to chapim when they're sitting at their Sudas Purim. So once you hold like Tosfos Brachos Daf Zayin and the Yira Kadosh, that everything goes basar the time you start, and everyone's allowed to have their Sudas Purim extend late into the night as long as they started a minute before Shkia. When's the best time to accomplish the goal of providing them with the Mishloach Manos that could be used during Sudas Purim? It's at night. It's after Purim is over. Aye, but the Maisa is lacking because he didn't do it on Purim. He did it after Purim. Rush says you can sacrifice a Maisa in the interest of the goal. That's what he says. That's his yishuv for all these menhagim all at one shot. It's like every tshuva is like that. It's brilliant, you know, just pulling things from all over the place. Now, of course, you could ask 18 different kashas on it, but that's, you know, that's a style. It's a unique kind of style. Ideally, though, we follow the Ramah. We try to get most of the Suda in before it gets dark, if possible. What about Al HaNisim? So certainly one is supposed to say Al HaNisim at Sudas Purim, but most of us finish our Sudas Purim after it's dark already. So do you say Al HaNisim after it's dark already? So it's actually Machlokas. Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions, and the Ramah says that we do, that you still say Al HaNisim if you finish after dark. However, Mishbur points out that very often that halacha won't apply. Why? Two things. First of all, if you've already davened Maariv by the time you're benching, let's say you left to daven Maariv and then you came back, you for sure don't say Al HaNisim. And second, if you've had a meal earlier that day where you did say Al HaNisim, then you would not say Al HaNisim at your Sudas Purim if you are benching after dark. Because there's a machlokas whether you would say Al HaNisim at a second meal on Purim anyway. And there's a machlokas whether you say Al HaNisim if you bench after dark anyway. So you take the two tzadim lekula, it's like a sfek sveka, and we're therefore makel, we don't say Al HaNisim in that type of situation. I wanted to get into a little bit, just mention one last idea about what we eat on Purim. So there's a minute to eat dairy, there's a minute to eat kreplach, and there's a minute to eat hamantashen. So I saw a very interesting thing. I don't know if it's, I saw it in the Sfarim blog, Rabbi Eliezer Brutt, I put it in the Mar Makomos, wrote a very interesting idea about where the concept of hamantashen came from. And he points out that it is quoted in Shulchan Aruch that we eat seeds on Purim. The Gemara says that Esther ate zeronim, she ate seeds when she was by Achashverosh. And in Daniel, it says that Daniel ate seeds when he was held in captivity, when he was in jail. So there is a concept, a minag, that's already quoted in Shulchan Aruch, to eat seeds on Purim. Apparently in like 15th century Germany, there was a very popular food called man tashin. Man meaning seeds, poppy seeds. And they would have, they would put them in dough. So probably Jews started eating it because, not because of three corners and the hametz hat and three avos and every vert and the ear and the every vert you ever heard. Probably Jews started eating it because it had seeds in it. And the minhag was to eat seeds, but who's going to eat seeds plain? It's disgusting. So they ate seeds in a dough that was wrapped in this dough, and that was called mantashin. But once Jews were eating it on Purim, and it's called mantashin, they figured they might as well call it hamantashin. Add a little extra syllable to it, and it makes it sound so much more Purim-dic. So that could very well be the real source of hamantashin. Just wanted to share that. Okay.
You know what, though?